Welcome back to the Grandstand. It's already episode 4 and the season hasn't even started. Pushan here in Paris and my boy F. Knowles. Where are you at these days?
I'm out in LA, baby.
That's right. Los Angeles. So it must have been tough for you to follow testing with that time difference.
I mean, by the time I wake up, it's done. So, yeah, not the best.
Not the easiest to geek out on, but fear not. You know, I was watching it every single day.
I bet. Well, yeah. I mean, it's, I got to say, like, the F1 calendar is not kind to people who live on the West Coast of the United States.
Yeah. And I think that's going to change in the next few years. But for now, it's a little rough.
Yeah, it sucks.
Yeah, it's more than rough.
Let's just call it what it is. It's, yeah.
It's also what happens when you move to the West Coast, my friend.
Yeah, well, I have opinions on that too, so.
We do a separate episode on that, but yeah, mm-hmm. Why don't we roll that intro and get into some testing theories?
Yeah, like Fred Durst said, roll it.
Stay out.
I am stupid.
Bring back the fucking V12s.
You're too old to have driven here, really. Shame you wasn't fast enough to get to Formula One.
All the time you have to leave a place.
Fuck them all.
More ladies in the paddock. There's too many dudes in the paddock.
Oh man, that's how I felt when I first opened up F1 TV and put on testing as a little background noise for the last 3 days. It was just awesome. Honestly, hard to follow everything because sometimes not a lot happens on track, but we got a little bit of news here in the last few days. Audi chief development officer apparently leaves. That's after the CEO left a few months ago. It's starting to look like Audi is a little shaky on its F1 project. Without getting into it, maybe Andretti should get on that phone.
Just saying. I think there's a little bit of European bias here. Like, that's the thing for me is like Audi's bid went through. There's some fuckery afoot. In the words of Succession's cousin Greg, but I'll just leave it at that for now.
Yeah, and speaking of fuckery, there's already some chatter in the paddock about Red Bull and its new team. Remind me the name: Visa Cash App RB F1 team. And I think people are calling it RB for short.
Vomit.
The vomit team.
The mouth vomit.
People are starting to wonder if their relationship to Red Bull isn't too close and if they're not sharing too much information in a cost cap era. I don't have any thoughts about it yet because I feel like they're allowed to play with the rules a little bit, but I'm sure this is going to be an episode on Drive to Survive Season 7 next year.
It has to be. I mean, we'll see how their performance goes on track. I think that's what's kept it pretty closed doors at this point behind closed doors and hasn't become so public, but is mainly because the sharing of information hasn't necessarily translated into on track results, right?
Yeah. So except for last year, there was a late push. They almost got that P7. So I think a few teams are getting worried and Zach Brown has been the most vocal. He's not afraid to take a stand on these issues.
No, he definitely, I do like how Zach is vocal. He's vocal about pretty much everything. I mean, when when McLaren gets a result, you can hear him on the radio in the background, like screaming in the garage.
Yeah. And it's all genuine. Like he's like a little kid in his excitement, and then he can get real serious about things like that. So, I mean, I love the guy. I want more Zach Brown this year. Speaking of Zach Brown, he also came out talking about Horner's investigation. Still no news on that, but he did say, you know, it'd be nice to get a response quickly because these are serious allegations, and the term sexual abuse has been thrown around by journalists. So maybe it's looking like it's that kind of episode. Still not speculating because Horner innocent until proven guilty, but no result on that internal investigation yet. But it's getting awkward as well for him there.
Yeah, I mean, it's strange. I think Yeah, I mean, Zach Brown basically came out and said, like, it just needs to be handled in a transparent way. And, like, right now, it doesn't feel like it is. It's being, it's like, we don't even know what the allegations are, which they're, Red Bull's clearly keeping a lid on this for now. You know, there hasn't been any criminal investigation into Christian Horner yet.
No, but Zach Brown did say, if the allegations are that serious, why hasn't he stepped aside during the investigation? Which, he's got a point.
Yeah, I mean, but then again, like, maybe the allegations aren't as serious as everyone thinks they are. I don't know. It's definitely a distraction for everyone. Yeah. And I think I agree with Zach. It's like, this is not what the sport needs, and you guys need to wrap this up because we need to focus on racing, not what's happening off track with the team boss. And if it becomes a distraction, to Zach's point, you need to step down or step aside, put someone in the interim while you finish the investigation.
Mm. Yeah, well, let's get back to racing. And that's exactly what we did this week. We went back to Bahrain, 3-day test, as we said in the last episode. Pretty much the only testing you get before season starts. It's not like other sports where you can train every day, basically go to practice. If you're, you know, a basketball team or playing tennis, you can practice on your own. You have 3 days, and it's actually a day and a half per driver. And sometimes there are red flags and your running gets cut short. These drivers are really good and they can get on with it really quickly. But it's also a way for like the FIA and Formula One to get all their systems in place. And there's actually a new Aston Martin safety car that was tested as well. I don't know if you saw that. Big beast.
Yeah. I'm still a little bit taken aback by the fact that F1 has only given teams 3 days of testing.
Oh yeah.
You know, because as you know, for those who aren't as familiar, you know, there used to be 6 days of testing. It didn't take place in Bahrain. It does feel, and I think the drivers agree with this. Alonso was pretty vocal about it. Only one driver can be on the track at a given time. From each team.
It's 10 cars maximum. So one car per team. Yeah.
Right. So, which makes sense because it just gives more space on track, gives teams the ability to do more. But yeah, it does cut costs for the team. Definitely, you know, going from six days to 3 days, you know, the travel costs incurred, fuel, et cetera, all those things. But I got a feel for the drivers on this one. I still don't get it.
Especially for younger drivers
and teams who aren't, you know, in the top part of the grid.
I'm sure if like a new team came in, they would have private testing allowed. But there was something interesting that people were speculating about Alonso. I mean, obviously Alonso doesn't really need practice. He's had a year with Aston Martin. He's one of those drivers that can get into it quickly with experience. But he's also managing a lot of younger drivers in the junior categories, like in go-karts already, and trying to get them up the ladder. And to his point, I think he's looking at his future career as maybe a manager like Weber is. How do you get these young drivers to actually practice in there? And it's true, there's not a lot, but it's what we have, it's what we got. And it seemed like a long time when I was chatting in the background when I was trying to get work done. But it also went by really quickly these last 3 days. And now it's like, how do we decipher what happened? You know, I remember a few years ago, we thought Ferrari was super quick. We had teams that were sandbagging, aka hiding their pace. I know you and I don't really agree on not the use, but on how to interpret testing. But I do think that with these regulations and them being stable and how reliable the cars are, you can tell a lot by just looking at how cars behave on track. So for me, yes, there's that issue of, is it the right engine power? Because teams could just lower that, or is there less fuel? But when a car looks good, you know it's going to be good.
I just think testing, everybody makes a big deal about it, which it is for the teams. Outside of the teams themselves, you know, everybody's trying to decipher, oh, well, who's going to finish where? Who's going to do what? You know, who's going to... And it's like, we don't know what the teams were looking for during each time they're on track. We don't know the conversations that are happening. I guess that's, we're always speculating, right? And that's the thing. We speculate on this show. However, I try not to speculate with testing other than what we saw from a particular Dutch driver.
Yeah, I know you don't like to look at the times and talk about an order of the teams, but it is, you can read into it, especially when you look at long runs and everything, the kind of stuff that I spend my free time doing. A few new things also in testing. You need to get used to new teams or a new kit. And I don't know if you saw Mercedes has a new sponsor. Obviously, you saw WhatsApp is with them. Did you see their new steering wheel? The radio button is now the WhatsApp logo on the steering wheel.
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of smart. From
that's
WhatsApp.
Pretty good. That's yeah. It's well like done. It's like the smallest product placement I've ever seen, I think.
Yeah. Cheeky though. Cheeky. Yeah,
it is, you know? Cheeky.
So do you think they're using WhatsApp to radio? They're WhatsApping the paddock now?
I mean, is it encrypted? There's a lot of debate about that too.
Well, no, that's not encrypted anymore. You know, the whole world can hear what you're saying.
Someone's got to get that Signal sponsorship. Williams.
Who's got a drug dealer?
Wait, I thought that was Telegram.
I don't know, man.
What? I don't know either.
Are we incriminating ourselves? I don't know what you're talking about.
No, yeah, let's move on. Lando Norris had an awesome tribute helmet. Did you catch that? Chill Differen.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah. Incredible. Like, and how the helmet just looked super sleek too.
Yeah. And a lot of other drivers think I have special helmets just for testing. I think Bottas had like the all green steak, Flovis paint looking colors on it, which I don't think are regular colors. Yeah. It's just another time where you can take it easy. And also there's no track limits on this. There's no the driver got my way. It's free practice, so you can actually do whatever the fuck you want on track too. You'll see them do like slow runs on the straight to see like constant speed tests and everything, so it is really different from like a Grand Prix weekend.
They're not going in like trying to get fastest lap. They're trying to figure out, I mean, you saw the new rakes, aero rakes on the cars.
Yeah, some of those rakes were I feel like they're getting bigger every year.
They're getting bigger, but also they're much more intricate. You know, they used to be just like what looks like a like rectangular waffle grid, and now it's, I mean, they're wild looking.
It seems like they're even designers for the rakes. Like Ferrari's rake looks super sleek, and that's not flexing. I just noticed it was like, oh, that's a cool looking rake there.
Mm-hmm. Strange. It's. I mean, it's. That's the thing about Formula One is like you're watching innovations happening in real time, which is incredible to think like you have entire teams, and it goes to show just that like there are people who are working on this shit 24/7. You know, we only see what happens on track, but there are people who spend countless hours and sleepless nights doing that shit.
And these cars have been developed since not just on the off season. They've started working already on next year's car right now. There's teams within teams that are doing that. And it's months and months of work behind the scenes to get to this point. So it is a huge deal for the teams. Maybe for us, we want to see qualifying round one in Bahrain. That's where we'll know who's the fastest, really, Max. But
not so subtle.
I think we've alluded to it a little bit already. But also, it was cool to see the cars on track and see the photos, because you, with the launches, you saw that a lot of teams were hiding shit, right? Red Bull didn't really show all their cards yet, and those aero kits are getting fine-tuned, and we're getting closer to round one. And I'm always impressed about how these engineers come up with these solutions. It just looks like they look sleeker than space ships for me, for real.
I mean, some of these guys are like aerospace engineers, so it would make sense. Like, these guys chose not to go to NASA, you know, or...
Yeah. What,
you know, yeah.
Love so. Racing.
I mean, it makes sense, man. It makes sense. But listen, I think I'm again, we can look at who topped the times for each day. But I think one thing that really sticks out to me is, like, for example, you had Charles Leclerc and George Russell in P1 and P2 today. And then you had Zhou Guan Yu in P3. So it's like, you know,
that's a good example of testing shenanigans. So so we had Max Verstappen day one topping, then we had Sainz and then Leclerc. You know that steak run was low fuel. I mean, it's got to be.
Right. It's got to be a qualifying run. or something similar.
Yeah, so some teams, they do these things called glory runs, where back in the day when F1, maybe when it was harder to get sponsors, you would put literally 5 liters of fuel enough to do 3 laps out there, out lap, fast lap, in lap, and you basically run out of fuel at the end because you're trying to set a fast lap to get more sponsors.
Right, to demonstrate that you're competitive.
I feel like now it's not so much the case, but maybe they're doing it because they need, maybe Zhou Guanyu needs to practice qualifying a little bit more. As you said, they don't get much practice, and yeah, any chance they can get. But it is funny, like, I'm not going to say, oh, Steak F1's going to get a podium, you know, in Bahrain. And if they do, holy shit.
Yeah, that's everything we've thought and everything we've thought of is fucked.
By the way, did you see that Logan Sargeant gained 5 kilos over the offseason?
I did, dude. And it sounds like he was training like a mofo this offseason.
Yeah. He's looking
a little swole.
A little bigger. Yeah. Hit the gym. Yeah. He said he's eating better. Drivers lose weight over the season, so he lost about 2.5 kilos and then he gained that back and gained an additional mass. So let's see if that helps him. He was already spinning around a few times. So
I mean, 5 kilos is about, it's, you know, lot. That's a lot, man. That's like almost 13, 14 pounds. Yeah. So that's not a small amount of weight to have gained in the off season. So man, my man's getting gains. Let's see, man. Like, maybe the car won't be spinning as much because he can actually fucking control it.
I mean, the first time I noticed him was him going off and giving us a red flag because he spun. So
well, there you go.
But yeah, everyone's, you know, getting geared up. We're not looking into the times too much, but okay, we've not been so subtle on the fact that Red Bull has come out with a fucking rocket ship. And I dare say, like, it almost looks as if they're taunting Mercedes by making their concept of the zero pod work and actually going way further, taking risks and still being in the front. So I'm not gonna lie, I'm a little scared that, especially in the hands of Max, as you said, that car looks like it's on rails.
It's just, that's the thing about the Red Bull this year that fascinates me so much, is that they took a concept that Mercedes wasn't sure worked and have now demonstrated that quite possibly it does work, and you guys just got it wrong with the rest of the car.
Yeah, you just needed Newey.
Yeah, you need Adrian Newey to figure it out. I don't know, man. It's, who knows? We'll see what happens with the Horner allegations. But listen, don't want to get into too much speculation, but yeah, I just... Mercedes has to be punching themselves in the dick. Like, yeah, what did we do wrong?
So we lost Lewis Hamilton. And now the zero pod, which we thought was a radical move, Red Bull is making it work. Or it looks like
it. In fact, works.
So far, it looks like it works. It looks like Max is looking really... He was fast right off the bat. The car didn't understeer or oversteer. He just looked like he was Max Verstappen under control. And I'll tell you what, there was other cars that not so smooth, the Mercedes at first, but it doesn't mean that they're not there, because this is why we're testing. We're fine tuning this shit, right? So Red Bull looks good. I'm going to do my yearly.
Here we go.
My yearly Ferrari, but I'm going to, you know, I'm not going to say Ferrari looks great. I'm going to say Ferrari doesn't look horrible this year. I'll put it that way.
Hey, listen, they finished the timetables, you know, we know what I've already said about, you know, what these times mean, but you know, they're putting in results so far. I mean, it's only 3 days of testing,
but you know what I like is that I think they're not chasing anything and they're trying to work on systems and like the whole Vasseur model, and it looks good. It looks like a team that's properly run, not like emotionally run.
Right. I mean, that's the thing that's always been the problem, right? Is that
yes.
Ferrari like will come out and they'll set expectations, you know, when the car is launched, before testing even happens, and then testing will happen, they'll put in some results, and then they'll be like, oh yeah, we're very confident about this year. We think we've got a Grand Prix or a World Championship winning car. And then you lot get all excited and you're like, oh, this is our year, man. This is our year. And then race one comes around, you guys bottle a pit stop, you know, it's like,
first of all, okay. In Ferrari's defense, I don't think they claim we're going to be world champions. They claim they're confident.
I know, but you know what I mean?
Yeah.
How it goes is that everyone's just assumes that Ferrari will be challenging for a spot. And I think, given that Red Bull was so dominant last year, it's like, we just have to prove this on track at this point. There's no talking about what will happen in the future. We just need to do it at this point.
Charles came out and said that, listen, we look good, but we don't know how far behind we are from Red Bull. So he's already stating the obvious that Red Bull is ahead of everyone, which I don't think is disputable at this point. But there were a few reliability issues with Red Bull. So that's kind of, you know, when you're taking a radical new design approach, maybe reliability will be a factor. But they look great. It's hard to tell who's doing well in that whole Mercedes, McLaren, Aston Martin kind of trio there, because they're all very similar and they're all working different programs. But it doesn't seem like we have a surprise this year. Usually you can kind of tell, unless it is that Guan Yu Zhou and Stake F1.
Well, yeah, I mean, well, getting, you know, just getting to some of the other cars in the field. I mean, we heard what Fernando said.
Well, yeah.
If you haven't, it's pretty telling. Let's just put it that way. And Fernando's been around for quite a long time. So
you have the exact quote. What did Fernando say?
Well, he said it in kind of broken English, but
yeah. Sorry. When I read it, it didn't make sense to me.
Yeah, I was like, wait, this.
When the journalists have to put parentheses and help you interpret the sentence. Yeah.
I think 19 drivers in the paddock now know that they won't win the championship is basically what he said.
Yeah, which shows that the Red Bull is great. It also shows how much faith he has in Checo.
Oh yeah, he basically dismissed Checo.
Yeah, it's not even just the Red Bull drivers, it's just only Max can win it. So I think I will go with ominous, like we went with last year and we saw what happened. But what about the back? For me, Haas, Williams, Alpine. I don't know. Doesn't seem like anyone's really showing their true cards yet, and doesn't seem like they made huge steps forward either.
No, I mean, I think, you know, when you look at Merck, McLaren, Aston, I think all those teams demonstrated that they've made progress from last year. We'll see with McLaren. I think that's the big question mark.
Yes.
Big question mark. Like, I don't think we learned a lot about McLaren through testing, but
very low key McLaren, right?
Super low key. Yeah. But to get to the back of the field, I think Haas probably looks the least impressive of all of them. I mean, yikes.
Agree. You know, who looks good is, they have a shit name for a team, but that V carb, they look pretty good on track. And
yeah,
and okay, taking away the whole times and everything, that livery, I don't know if you've seen it during the day and at night, it has a bit of a shine, almost chrome look. Mm-hmm. I don't know, it looks pretty sick, I think.
Yeah, it's not bad.
I think Danny Rick, ooh, okay, I was going to get into some wild predictions. No, I'll save that for our 2024 preview episode coming up soon.
Yeah, I mean, listen, I'm still like, not getting over, I haven't gotten over the name fucking sellout of that team. It's like all the teams do it, right? Like all the teams are doing this. You guys just didn't give a fuck about your name. Like, and also what's fascinating to go just, you know, not to go back on this, but in the official timesheets, it's like RB is the name of this team.
Yeah. So I think it makes it easier for us now. It's their logo on the infographics is RB with a little bull. So I think they're going by RB for short, because no one's going to say their full name in commentary. And then Red Bull. So we have to be careful with that now. But now what happens? It's Friday. We have about a week until
a week.
Maybe less, because actually the first two races of the year are on a Saturday. Don't forget, it's going to be Saturday evening Grand Prix. We're celebrating 20 years in Bahrain, right? So it will be the 20th edition, sorry. So they're having a night race on Saturday evening, not Sunday. So don't miss the race, the first one of the year, and it'll be the same in Jeddah as well, the next round. But yeah, engineers are going to go back and look through, I don't know how many terabytes of data over the next week, and I can bet you the cars will look very different when we see them in Bahrain. And then we finally can't hide behind fuel glory runs, all that shit. It's like, if you're fast, you're fast, and if you're not, then you're Haas, right? You're the
Yeah, if you're not first, you're last, in the words of Ricky Bobby.
So what do we have to look forward to? Because this is like, as we said,
a lot. We've got, this weeks. is Very busy week. We've got, well, Drive to Survive came out today.
Yeah. Are you binging that this weekend or what?
Binging Drive to Survive. I might do a two-parter. I might do like half today, half tomorrow. So that way you and I can bang out an episode. But I'm curious to see how last season played out with Red Bull's dominance, how they chose to tell that story.
I hear the DeVries episode is quite telling. I've just heard about I think it's
there's not a lot of driver drama last year. I mean,
it's about how quickly things can change, and I think he's part of that main part, and we forget that.
Poor guy.
Yeah, poor dude. I hope he's doing well.
Wherever you are, Nick DeVries.
Yeah, pour one out for Nick.
Yeah, he's not dead, dude. Jeez.
He is to F1.
Oh my God. Wow.
I know.
Savage.
I mean, Red Bull is savage. Well, okay, we got Drive to Survive. We'll be chatting about that in the next episode. Then we got our season preview, and then we're getting into it, man. It's, I hope you don't have too much work this week because you'll be busy with F1.
A little busy, but you know what? We'll manage. It's not the busiest, but I'm excited. We'll get into our preseason preview, and I've got a pretty hot take.
I feel like we're both really looking forward to giving our predictions here.
I want to get the season started.
Little teaser for that. But in the meantime, we'll be back with the Drive to Survive notes review. In the meantime, follow us on social media if you're not at the Grandstand F1 on Twitter and Instagram. And from us at the Grandstand, we'll catch you on the next one.